You're listening pretty late. It is Music Monday in the Allstate Showcase Studio, and we are thrilled to welcome Jack Byron for some wonderful music, some live music in studio. Here he is with Always On My Mind.
When I look up to the sky, reminds me of a time I made a wish upon a star, asked fate to make her mine, and now she's mine. And there ain't no one in the world as fine as mine. And it doesn't matter where I go, my baby's always on my mind. I've seen a lot of women, boys, I've been from coast to coast, but she still lingers in my head like a memory or a ghost. But I don't mind. You see, she's a lover of a different kind. And it doesn't matter where I go, my baby's always on my mind. She got me like, ooh, ooh, yeah. I said, it doesn't matter where I go, my baby's always on my mind. Now some might say that heaven is a place, they keep it hidden in the sky. Well, I discovered heaven and I found myself behind my lover's eyes. Some might search for diamonds, and some might search for gold, and some folks keep on searching till their heart is black as coal. But not me. You see, I'm drunk in love, she's whiskey to my soul. And it doesn't matter where I go, my baby's always on my mind. I said, it doesn't matter where I go, my baby's always on my mind. Yeah, she's always on my mind. Yeah, she's always on my mind.
Oh, yeah.
It's Jack Byron with Always On My Mind. You can come, can we, I think if you come on over to a microphone, that might be easier, if you don't mind.
Anyone?
Yeah, any one of them, except for the one that Brandon's at. Unless you want to sit on his lap, which is fine. He encourages that kind of thing. That was wonderful. And by the way, Jack Byron will be at Uncommon Ground on June 28th. You can see him live. We have him right here in studio. Really beautiful music. I was taking pictures of you. I hope that's okay. By the way, people are also able to watch you on the live stream. And if you go to our live stream, you'll be able to rewind and watch him play live.
I usually comb my hair with a stick in the morning. I didn't know it was in a
You look great. Oh, please, you're a musician. You guys get to rough and tumble.
I get away with that kind of stuff.
Exactly. Brandon C. Price is a creator and genius mastermind behind a show called Vamp at MCL every Friday and Saturday night. It's a comedy music drinking show.
Oh, Patty, we've been apart too long. It's a music comedy drinking show.
It's a comedy music. I've heard it both ways, mostly because I've said it every way there is to say it.
There's music, there's comedy, it's all together.
And there's drinking. And yeah. By the way, we love your new headshots.
Oh, thank you.
Really
thank you
cool.
Much. Elias Rios, .com.org/greatest photo ever guy.
Elias Rio?
Elias Rios. Look him up on the internet.
Elias Rios. Have you ever had pictures done of you professionally for like promo, Jack?
Oh, I'm like, I'm just like, I might be French. I just go all natural. That's what I'm saying.
Just use the pictures that you've got. So where are you from originally?
Well, I grew up on the south side, about like 63rd and Pulaski.
Mm-hmm. Where'd you go to high school? Well, we asked these questions.
Then
I know.
Moved and I went to Lockport.
Okay. Which is out in the southwest suburbs.
Actually, I didn't know this, but it's like the marching band for that school was like the marching band for Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
I did not know that.
So shout out to, you know,
a lot of pride,
Lockport,
especially
yeah.
this year of the anniversary. A lot of people were celebrating.
Yeah, the movie in the park, right?
Or yeah. Like that? Well, I think they had like a Ferris Bueller's
there was,
weekend.
Like, a whole thing.
Yeah, there was a whole thing. Yeah, all awesome. I know is there are people who really don't like that movie and the people who really love it. At the station, no
who
less.
I think it was Siskel. They're like, it's the moviest of movies he's ever seen.
The moviest of movies. Interesting.
It's so movie.
That is like, the best review I've ever heard.
I wonder if that was Siskel or Ebert.
Yeah, that movie is so movie.
Well, because it had maybe it's like the tone of it and the stylistically kind of also breaking.
And
the
it's
fourth
ridiculous.
Wall.
All the stuff that he does in that one.
That would
day.
Only happen in a movie. Yeah. It's a movie.
yeah, Nick D really, really hates that movie does with
he?
A vengeance. Oh, with a vengeance.
School of Rock. That guy's. He's all over the board.
You can go tumble
I'm
with
a
him.
Big Nick D fan.
I'm a big Nick D fan.
He's just all over
so
the
he's
board.
He's like Ferris's sister. Just mad at him the whole
oh,
movie.
Who I think he actually likes in the movie. I think he likes Jennifer Grey in
they
the movie.
They got a thing.
Maybe. By the way, Nick D's movie tonight, coming up later at the Rosemont Movie Co., is Raiders of the Lost Ark. I don't know if there are very many tickets left. It is on the big screen. How often are you going to see that?
Yeah.
I already bought my
can't
ticket.
Argue with Nick D there.
No, you cannot argue with Nick D on that one. It's fully restored. It's going to be great.
Oh, Nick Deligio?
Sorry.
That's exactly right.
Oh, boy.
DeGilio.
Nick DeGilio. Wow, that's going to be on his show. Nick Spies are going to put that all over his show. Thanks for that. I assume no responsibility for that mutilation of his name. Say Velasquez as much as you want on your show.
Sorry.
I know. Now I feel like, am I saying it right? I've known him for years. He helped me get pregnant and everything, so I should be saying his name correctly. I won a free stay at home. Have I told you the story, Brandon?
No.
Before I ever met Nick, before I was ever really a regular on WGN Radio, I was a fan.
He got me pregnant. I was hoping it was related to that sentence, but I was like, I'm not going to say it. Hope it does, because what if it didn't?
Nick got Patty pregnant.
Poor Jack Byron's like, well, we can talk about my music and my career. No, we're talking about my pregnancy first. My husband and I got married in 2000, and we were trying almost immediately to get pregnant. And two years in, and we were not able to conceive. And it was getting a little stressful. You know, we were at the point where we were going to go to see specialists. You know, maybe there was something wrong with one of or the other of us. And then I just happened to be listening to WGN Radio. And Nick had it was actually what movie was this David Letterman joke about? Like, they played a clip of David Letterman making fun of a movie. And the movie was The Sisterhood of the Ya-Ya Club. Right.
They're going to say Traveling Pants.
Exactly. It was very similar. Too. Yeah, but it was the Ya-Ya. What was
Ya-Ya
it called?
Ya-Ya Sisterhood.
Ya-Ya Sisterhood? I don't even know now, but it was like Nick didn't like that movie. David Letterman didn't like the movie.
Where could this be going?
Is it Divine Secrets of the Ya-Ya Sisterhood?
That's the one. The Sisterhood, Divine, and Ya-Ya. It was all I thought it was a decent movie, but Nick D did not like it very much, and neither did I don't think he did. But anyway, I called in, I got the answer right, and I won a free stay at a hotel.
Okay.
In Lyle, Illinois, and my husband and I stayed there, and that was the weekend we conceived my son, because that was the only time that we attempted such things.
So you were a fan, and then you told Nick about it, and then he's like, "Hey, you should host my show."
No. I was already
the last three chicks that went
through. No, I was already. I became. I was already friends with Steve Cochran, who had his own show, and I started becoming a regular guest on his show.
Oh.
And I have been a regular guest from about 2000, from around when I got pregnant, until I got hired in 2014. So that's how that all. I don't know. That's really hard to diagram how that all happened. Yes.
So now we know.
Man.
Yeah, I guess so. How old were you when you started playing guitar?
Seven. No. I think like 15.
It's not a quiz. You're not
15.
Wait, did you say 7 and then change it to 15 years
old?
That
is a stark difference.
That is a huge.
Wow.
Like, were you say 7th grade?
I'm not going to. I'm not saying I'm Bob Dylan. I'm not going to make.
I remember the moment I got pregnant. And
ooh.
What did he do with his history?
Well, everyone has this like perception that like he was just traveling around the Rockies writing all these songs, but like he was just like from a middle class
he was like random middle class Minnesota guy, like straight up went to a studio and did really well.
Yeah. I mean, he's a genius.
Yeah.
But
but he tried to make his past sound a little more
He spent
exotic.
Less time on a train than we think he did.
Yeah.
I never think of him being on a train.
I'm on the back of a train.
Is he one of your biggest influences, do you think?
Actually, it's really weird because I find that I could like do pretty reasonable covers of his songs. I think I can. I don't know if that's good, though. But anyway, I'm a huge Beatles guy.
Mm-hmm.
But like my parents never... I don't think they were Dylan fans, you know? But then like later on, when I started like kind of playing, it was kind of pop-oriented stuff. And then I started kind of doing my own thing. Because like my dad, like Van Morrison, you know, they had like the Moondance record.
Sure.
And he's like, oh, Into the Mystic, that's a great song. I'm like, that is an amazing song. But then when you listen to the whole record, it's just an amazing record.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
It's tucked in an amazing album. There you go.
Yeah. So then I started exploring that, and I kind of liked that whole folk rock thing. And then I got into Dylan, and I was like, whoa, Blood on the Tracks. I never heard anything like this before. And then, you know, Buckets of Rain, Buckets of Tears, you know?
Well, there's a difference between doing a cover and doing an impression. I'm guessing that your take on it is your very own, right?
Yeah, unless I'm doing Tom Petty.
Tom Petty and Bob Dylan can very easily blend when you're doing I got to hear the
thing. Oh, yeah, here we go. Yeah, go from Bob. Now we're going to make him do tricks.
All right.
Is he going to do Free Fallin'? Is it Free Fallin'?
Oh, yeah. She's a good girl, loves her mama.
The little who?
But sometimes I'll be doing it and I'll get confused because then I'll go into Bob Dylan. And
isn't there a little bit of John Lennon in that too, a little bit? Or is that just the way he talks?
No.
I don't know. I guess you just have to imagine.
So it was me, Tom, and Bob, and we were all in the studio. Yeah, go ahead. Tell him about it. I was going to tell him about it, Tom.
Yeah, what is it? All the people in the front clap, rattle your jewelry. Or
oh, my God. Patty, are you interviewing the Beatles? It seems like you are.
I know. I feel like I've transcended time somehow. We are hanging out in the Allstate Showcase studio with musician, singer-songwriter Jack Byron, who is appearing on the 28th at Uncommon Ground. We have Brandon C. Price, performer, genius mastermind behind Vamp at MCL, which is on Halsted and MCL, right? Is that correct?
It's Sheffield and Belmont, just a little south.
Not even on Halsted.
I was just going to let you go. I was just going to let it go.
No, that's okay. I am so
tired.
It's
this Monday, man.
It's a music, comedy, and drinking show.
Yeah.
Wait. Is it? Does it become a comedy after the drinking?
No, during.
Or is it initially a comedy?
It gets funnier.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, but it's always funny.
Don't worry. Someone's about to hand you tickets.
I can't believe for the first time in my career, when someone asked me what's a fun thing to do this weekend, I didn't say Zanies. I'm so sorry, Zanies. I said go to Vamp.
That's what I'm talking about.
This guy was visiting from Ohio. He was a VP from Chase.
Thank you, Patty.
I don't know if they went.
Did you tell him to bring all of his friends?
Yeah, they had like a bunch of people in from out of town. Did you get anybody that was like from Houston?
We were actually closed on Saturday. We were only open on Friday.
I sent them on Saturday. More after this on 720 WG, and I should check these things
That's
out
a good
first.
Joke.
You're listening pretty late, and it is Music Monday in the Allstate Showcase studio. We are so happy to have Jack Byron with us. He is playing Just a Fool right now for you.
Tap at my window and knock on my door. You know I'll answer. I don't know what for. Maybe I'm crazy, maybe I'm lonely, or maybe I'm blue. Or maybe I'm just a fool in love with you. You shatter my ego and bust up my pride. All of my friends say I'm stupid and blind. Maybe they're right, maybe they're wrong, or maybe it's true. Or maybe I'm just a fool in love with you. 'Cause I can't recall all my life before you. You carry me, darling, I'll carry you. And all of my life I've been waiting for you. You're still the one after all that we've been through. And all I want is you. All I want is you. So tap at my window and knock on my door. You know I'll answer. I don't know what for. Maybe I'm crazy, maybe I'm lonely. No, baby, I'm just blue. Or maybe I'm just a fool in love with you. I can't recall all my life before you. You carry me, darling, I'll carry you. And
all of my life I've been waiting for you. You're still the one after all that we've been through. And all I want is you. All I want is you. Yeah, all I want is you. Hey, baby, all I want is you. 'Cause maybe I'm just a fool in love with you. Oh, baby, I'm just a fool in love with you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Oops, sorry. I was trying to get a good shot with Jack Byron. Come on over.
That
come
was
back
amazing
over.
When Patty.
Caught off guard. I didn't. I was enjoying the music, taking pictures.
That was so good.
And it was very good. That was Jack Byron with Just a Fool, and he's performing at the Uncommon Ground on June 28th.
Clark location.
The Clark location. What's the other location?
There's one in Devon, apparently.
Are there two?
Yeah,
there's a second one in Rogers Park.
Then the Clark location. What neighborhood is that at? What neighborhood would that be in?
Wrigleyville.
Is it really?
Yeah, it's Wrigleyville.
Yes.
I should probably get out to these locations. A lot of our musicians play there, and I'm like, where? I know where Shoebiz is. I should probably figure out where everything else is. I know where MCL is. Apparently not on Halsted.
If it makes you feel better, I think you said on Halsted and MCL.
Yes.
It's the name of the theater.
I was just saying, I think MC Hammer's like down the street.
Probably. So we were talking to Jack before the last break. He's originally from the South Side and then moved to Lockport, right? And then off to where after that? Do you live in the city now? Or
I'm like in Tinley now.
Look at you. Look at Tinley Park.
Yeah, you know.
Moving closer to... Is that closer to the city? Or are they both equally far?
I think it's just convenient.
It's just kind of, well, there you go. Yeah, the roads go there. I mean, Lockport is a great area. You're right. It's a little bit off the beaten path, which I think they like about it out there.
Yeah, it's one of those towns where, like, when you're there, I'm gonna tread lightly, but like, it's like when you're there and then you notice that like the people don't want to be there, even though they say they do.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, we love Lockport, but no, you don't.
Wow. He's accusing the residents of Lockport of feigning adoration for their area.
He's from there. You can say it.
Well, that's true. He's no longer from there, though. He has abandoned them and now saying that.
I still represent, though.
Yeah, right? I still represent. I hold the right to make fun of Alabama at any given time, and I haven't been there in a long time.
Oh, about Texas? Which one would you be more likely?
I can make fun of the whole South, I feel like.
The whole South. And that's Brandon C. Price speaking for the entire South, not the not the views or opinions of Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, nor does that reflect Lockport and or Tinley or the South Side of Chicago, anything that Jack Byron says.
Yeah, don't take anything I say on face value.
Was the guitar the first thing you played? You said you started when you were 15.
Well, I didn't pick it up. Like, oh, I just randomly found a trumpet one day. No, I was in fourth grade, and then, like, you know, they're like, hey, we have a music program. And then, like, I started playing the trumpet, and it was cool and everything. In retrospect,
do you still ever pick it up? You don't play anymore?
No, because what happened was, like, I started playing, and then, like, I stopped practicing. And so I got it, even though, like, I was first year trumpet, but it was like completion. So, like, you have to fill out these little practice records, and I'm just a procrastinator, and I never did it. So most of the kids would be like, I practice for 2 hours every day. And when, like, they're playing doesn't show that they actually did that.
Right.
But anyway.
But you practice without filling out your chart.
I did. I never turned the chart in.
And so they cut you from the program?
They didn't cut me. I got an F, but I was, like, second chair. So I was like, what? So it was just weird. And then, like, so then I stopped playing.
So you didn't do the paperwork, but you performed the material. You clearly were practicing, but because you did not fill in the graph.
Yeah.
Do you have this teacher's name and phone number?
Yeah, right.
I'm not
great
even,
guy, though. I love him.
I'm not really even kidding, am I, Craig? Tell him I'm not really. What was the teacher's name?
She will call him.
What was the teacher? I'm not going to call him
Mr.
right now.
Mr. Scooby.
Give us his number.
Mr. Scooby?
S-K-U-B-E.
S-K-U-B-E. Craig, can you please look up a Mr. Scooby for me? This is going to be my new thing on Pretty Late. Is there someone you want us to call in the middle of the night and just maybe, you know, work things out? I'm not saying we accuse them of anything.
Why did you fail, Jack?
Yeah, why? I want to know
why. Where is she?
Mr. Scooby.
We don't. We don't do the Batman voice when we call people. By the way,
we should.
That'd be cool.
Why'd you fail, Jack?
What's your problem?
Tell us now.
I sound a little more like I've got something in my throat.
Both of you are spot on, Batman. That was almost as good as our Bob Dylan a minute ago.
Why? Thank you. I'm Batman.
Which Batman, though?
Now, I'm not sure, because that the guy who says I'm Batman, that's not Christian Bale.
That's more Ben Affleck.
Yeah.
I'm Batman.
I'm Batman.
I feel like Ben Affleck would say that without the costume on.
Sure, he does too. Isn't he? He's making another Batman movie now. He's writing and directing in the next one.
No.
Yes.
Why do people let people do those things?
It's basically Ben Affleck dressed as Batman directing it while somebody else is actually Batman in the movie.
You're doing great. That's just like how we do it. Let's keep going.
What is happening in here, Craig? Where's your Batman?
60% of this interview has been voices. We're not even doing like so many voices. I'm Batman again. Talk about Batman.
I know. I should go back to talking about, I don't even know what I was doing there.
It was like a half Batman.
It was a little bit of a half Batman. It was a gravelly. It was Batgirl with a lot of whiskey and cigarettes, is what it was. Jack, when you sit down to write your music, do you make a schedule for yourself, or is it kind of as other things that come to you all the time and you know, try to keep track of it?
It's really with that. It's so like right now I'm doing this. I play full time, so. I have like a day job or anything, so like it's kind of a really balance because I'll be playing songs and stuff and like different fingering patterns from other songs I'll pick up and stuff and then try to apply it because you don't want all the sounds. It's nice to have a sound, but you don't want them to all sound samey.
Right.
So
do you feel like you fall into a pattern of this is kind of like a lot of my last song or?
Yeah, and if I do that, I just scratch the song or I'll go to the piano and write on that. So
does that help you break it up a little bit rhythmically? To sort of like reset your...
Yeah, because it's really weird because like the guitar, like it's easy to get into like that folk rock sound. But the piano though, like I learned piano through like listening to like, I know it's taboo, but I listen to a lot of Coldplay. And then like, I learned the piano that way.
See, and Brandon made a face. Here's the thing, like when people make fun of certain
bands. No, I'll make fun of people who... I'll apologize for what they're about to do as if they expect to be made fun of.
Right.
I honestly couldn't tell you a Coldplay song. Like, I'm sure if you sung it, I'm sure it's great. I think making fun of people are funny. Continue the interview.
There's some really great Coldplay songs. Let's just be honest. There's some really good Coldplay music.
Okay. I couldn't tell you a Coldplay
yellow.
Song. Okay.
Yellow.
It was all yellow.
I don't know what that means.
That was like the Bob Dylan version.
It was a little bit.
He was all yellow.
I'm not going to forget this week, by the way. Bob Ferguson, thank you again for making our musicians sound great, as you always do. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And there's a lot of equipment in here, too. That wasn't all Jack's. So I just want to say there was a band in here earlier, and they had a lot of stuff going on. Jack, that was amazing music. Thank you so much.
Oh, thanks.
Is there a website I can direct people to?
Yeah. If you really like what you heard, I put my schedule up on www.reverbnation.com/JackByron2. And, you know, the Uncommon Ground show's there. I'm actually opening for a group called Smoke and Mangoes.
I like that.
I like both of those things. I don't know if I'd like them together. As, like,
Smoke
food.
Mangoes might be
Smoke
okay.
Smoke Mangoes.
Yeah, I think so. Could work.
It could work. Mm-hmm. So, but I think they're traveling through, and so I'm opening for them. But we each get like an hour. So it starts at 8, and it's like a $5 cover. But, you know, if you're around town, check it out. You know, I'll listen to me on Spotify. You can
and also,
listen to that.
And you can also nice. Find him at jackbyronmusic.com for more information. Our Southside Chicagoan, yes?
No, I was just, I was like, yeah.
Yeah,
cool.
Those things. Oh, look at you with, you don't have any facial hair in this picture. This is Chicago's very, oh, do I need a break? More after this on 720 WGN. Oh, it's Monday. I'm having a moody Monday. I think there was a lot on social media today that just made me feel just less. I feel less today. That's what I feel, Brandon C. Price. I feel less. Do you ever feel that way, just less?
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's not isolated to just Mondays.
No, but sometimes less is more. So let's see what we can do with it.
Maybe. I think Esmeralda had a good weekend. You were out and about doing all the festivals.
I was. I got to 2 out of 3.
To which,
that I said.
Which one did you skip?
That 606 block party.
I saw that on the news. I had never seen an aerial shot of the 606 path. It looks very cool.
Yeah, it's neat to walk through. Yeah.
It's not very long, though, is it?
No, not at all. And I really, I've only been there once, and it was when it first opened, because I don't have a chance to go over there, really.
But isn't it supposed to connect, like, Wicker Park, Bucktown,
right.
and Logan Square?
I don't go through
but
there.
But it's not very long.
Aren't those all the same thing? Yeah. Well, they're connected now.
Well, Bucktown, I don't think Bucktown, I think Bucktown and Wicker Park are, like, the same thing, but Logan Square's a little bit farther north, maybe? I don't know. I'm geographically, I don't really.
There's not a diagonal road that goes that way, so like I've Milwaukee never Avenue? Been there.
There is Milwaukee Avenue.
No,
goes...
but it doesn't go the other way.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Everything diagonally goes towards the center.
Good point. I did go to that Mayfest. What did you think of Mayfest?
Oh, I went Friday.
I went Sunday.
Oh.
It was very loud in that tent.
Yeah, Friday was pretty quiet, yeah. Which was nice.
I went through, Griffin finished his play. They did performances of Bye Bye Birdie for
his
school.
Oh, who was he in Bye Bye Birdie?
He was one of the dads. He was in the parents' chorus.
Oh, very cool.
And none of the kids in his class had any lines. None of the, like, mostly the older kids.
But even the chorus in that show is so much fun.
Oh, there was some nice dance
going
moves.
Steady for good.
It's a little sexual for fourth through eighth grade. Well, all the girls and moms have an orgasm when Conrad Birdie sings his first song.
Wouldn't you?
I'm just saying.
Conrad Birdie.
What do people think happens when all the women collapse? I have this theory that the reason girls used to scream so much when it came to like the Beatles and Elvis was because they weren't able to express themselves in other ways sexually, that they didn't realize that that was how they were reacting, was the screaming and that's the emotion that they were. I that's just my
so
theory.
You think people have less orgasms now because we're able to talk about them?
We have more outlets for them. We feel more comfortable, you know.
Patty's saying we have less random orgasms at concerts.
Yes. So,
that it's actually happening more at home.
We can take care of them later.
Yeah. I would like to experience that.
What, orgasms at concerts?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. I mean, I can't think of a concert that would have warranted it. I went to Blink-182 Green Day when I was in high school. But, you know, I don't know if that's orgasm.
Didn't get you that way? Didn't get you in the feels? Didn't get you in all the feels? But so Griffin finished his production of Bye Bye Birdie, and we went to Mayfest with some of the other parents and kids. I also brought Declan, and my younger son Declan, who has special needs, requires a wheelchair to get through really thick crowds and long distances, and especially at Mayfest. I mean, this is like total chaos. You could lose any kid in this crowd. So we were walking through, and it's been a long time since I've been around people who are inebriated. Mm-hmm. And wow, the filters are way lower when they see a child who's significantly disabled. Mm. Yeah, that was intense. Because I'm used to people staring. That's one thing. Like I'm a little more. I pick and choose my battles. But there was one woman who, as we were walking by, like I watched her. Like first she locked into staring at him, and then she like made this face, like really full on, like she smelled something bad. And I didn't know if it was fear or confusion. So I'd ask her. I said, "Are you okay? You look worried." And she goes, no, I was looking at something else." She was not, but I'm not going to have an argument with exactly what she was looking at. And then it was weird. It's been a long time since I've had people point and whisper. I just because they're drunk and they're not sure. And one of the other parents said, "Well, they're just not used to it." I don't want them to be used to it either. I don't, you know, I just didn't expect it. It just made me feel very self-conscious. It's been a long time since I was self-conscious. That's what I'm saying. But I do want to thank the lovely staff at Grafton Pub on Lincoln Avenue, because I left the Mayfest to go find some place to hang out with Declan. And we made our way to Grafton Pub on Lincoln Avenue, and they couldn't have been cooler there. They tried engaging Declan. I got him out of the wheelchair, and he was kind of walking around listening to the Irish music, and they were very helpful there. So thank you to Grafton Pub.
See? That is a cool place.
Oh, I love that place.
I dig it.
He wanted to go to the basement because he could hear the refrigeration. He's attracted to like loud humming sounds. So he wanted to go to the basement, and I kept having to turn him around. He'd get right to the edge of the stairs, and I'd have to turn him around. But we explored the whole place. It's a very cozy bar. I like that place.
This is just south of the square?
It is north. South of the square on Lincoln. Yeah, it was lovely.
It's just, south of the square before Wells Park.
Yes, exactly. I didn't want to take him past Wells because he would have wanted to go play in that big sprinkler. And it's really hard to dissuade him once he's got something in his mind.
It's hard to dissuade anyone from playing in a big sprinkler in a park.
I know, it is. It's a great neighborhood. You live in Lakeview? What neighborhood would you describe?
Yeah, now it's like if you sneeze north, you'd be in Andersonville, but it's not nice enough to say I'm in Andersonville. I did. I moved a couple weeks ago.
Maybe you told me and I forgot.
It was traumatic, so I probably didn't talk about it.
You haven't been here for a while.
I know.
Why was it traumatic? Were you thrown out?
I was just moving. Well, yes, absolutely. And this terrible, terrible management company, let's call them 33 Management because that's what their name is.
well done.
They absolutely like tried to kick us out, tried to break our lease early, like kept doing walkthroughs when they didn't say they were coming. These like 20-something kids who'd clearly like never struggled for anything, like going through judging our furniture out loud, like, "Oh, well, when we redo the place, hopefully someone with some taste will move in." Am I right? Ha ha ha. Oh, hey, that guy sleeps on the couch because he works here. He can hear you. you.
Oh my God.
But to answer your question, I live walking distance away from the square. I take lessons at Old Town. And so I actually walked through Mayfest.
What license are you taking?
What license you're taking? I'm taking Banjo Rep 3 right now.
That's fantastic.
I know, it's super exciting.
I love that.
I've been taking all year. I'm about ready to play it at the show.
And they have two spaces now. When I lived there, they had one.
They do. It's gigantic. Both sides of the street. It's really cool.
That place has taken over Lincoln Avenue.
Yeah, it's overwhelming. But the jam circles are still so, like, home feely. It hasn't gotten super corporate, at least in the actual hanging out and playing aspect of it yet. But now there's just 40 people that of all levels and skills sitting in a circle playing the same three folk songs that we all knew as kids. So it's really cool. It's a lot of fun.
And what are they?
Oh man, there's so many. That's fairly like so many of them are terrible too. Like old folk songs from the late 1800s are literally like, "Well, I had a wife, but it didn't go well, so I buried her and I threw away her clothes."
That's a good one. Let's see what else Brandon can sing for us when we get back. Maybe there's one about setting somebody on fire. More after this on 720 WG. They did a wonderful job. I have to say, these kids were incredible. A great production, great set. Okay, so I'm going to kvitch a little bit about the is that a word? Is that a Yiddish word?
I was just going to nod along.
I'm going to bitch a little. Is actually what I meant to say.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm going to talk about Griffin's musical. She did a great job, right? It's an astounding project and an undertaking of children between the ages of, like, I don't know, maybe 8 and 13, right? And some just kids that really had their heart in it and everything. And she works them very hard. She has her favorites. She had every kid, even in the chorus, for the most part, has a wireless lavalier microphone. Like with Brandon White, your eyebrow just twitched a little bit.
Wow, for
kids,
for a year and a half to get those for six adults.
I don't know if these are ones that they borrowed from the high school where they did the performance. But the other thing is, for let's say at any one time there are 20 children on stage who are mic'd, and
that poor sound op.
But that's the thing. That sound op was not regulating every single mic, right? So let's say you have a kid who just finished dancing, right?
Uh-huh.
Some hard dancing.
Right.
And, you know, he's like 12 or 13. He hasn't quite regulated his own breathing yet. And that's all you hear through the sound.
Oh, I see. Yeah, like what?
Through the whole auditorium.
How big is this auditorium where 20 young little voices together won't travel enough without a lav?
Well, and my thinking to that, well, first the auditorium was built in 19, maybe 30s or 40s. So productions have been going on there for decades without a sound system.
I'd say it's probably fairly acoustic.
Yes. it lends itself to the kind of performance this was. And then the other thing was, like, they were using, it looked like, shiny scotch tape, and you would just see these big flapping mics with like shiny tape. I thought one kid had lamb chops. I'm like, oh no, that's his microphone. I'll show you pictures during the news, but it was very strange. But the teacher also was part of the crew to move set pieces, right? Brandon, you're seeing a lot behind this curtain, right? What's the first thing that comes to your mind when the teacher and director is moving set pieces?
Well, I think we'll budget, but then I think, well, they had 900 lavs. So now I get curious and I get to the edge of my seat, and Patty, I need to know more.
So I saw it twice. So the second time around, I'm now watching much more closely.
Of course.
I enjoyed the first one.
All the aspects, technically, you're focusing
now
on.
Now I'm like, yeah. Now, and then I sat in front too. And the opening scene is with one of the opening moments with Set, that there's a desk for Albert, right? He's somebody sets the desk, and she tilts it more, right? And pulls it downstage.
Okay.
And someone comes by and pushes it back a little bit. She comes running back out and tilts it again, right? And the thing was, so what is the name of his girlfriend, Albert's girlfriend?
Rosie,
right? But is her last name Alvarez? Because for the script, they changed it to Alvarez. I doubt that it was Alvarez in the original play.
She is specifically of Latino descent.
Is she really?
in the play?
I'm glad to hear that.
I can't say for sure if I know if that's a change or not.
Yeah, it seems strange to me.
It comes up. I mean, it's very, I don't know if it's not a tip of the cap or an inappropriate generalization, but there's a lot of Rosies and things happening in that show.
Yeah. Well, there's a moment where the girl who's playing Rosie Rosie, because the desk is now so far to the edge of the stage, she's supposed to dance around the desk.
Oh, she's got to cross downstage and she can't.
Yeah, and I see her take like one leg off the stage and has to like take a step around the desk. And I was like, dude, I so wanted to go push that desk back in so she'd have more room. Because Friday night, two of the girls, and I'm not laughing, but Friday night, two of the girls take a tumble running up to the stage for the curtain call. Mm-hmm. And a mom goes, because there's something, there's equipment sticking out from underneath the curtain that they can't see. And one trips, goes just a header across. She's fine. And then a few moments later, another one, header right on the stage. And a mom gets up to try to push that back so no one else falls. The teacher grabs that mom and forcefully makes sure that she goes and does it, right? You're like, mm-hmm. you know, just let somebody else.
A real quick to answer your question from a minute ago, yes. Rosie Grant was her name up until 1966. That was after the initial Broadway run. And then by 2009, it's been changed to Rosie Alvarez, mimicking the movie.
Oh.
How old was I when we did it? Would that have been 2000? It would have been like 2001. So yeah, I guess it was not progressive when I did it.
You guys were back in the Miss Grant.
It was also Texas.
Well, there's that. There's another scene change, and the girl who plays Kimmy is adorable, right? Really great voice and everything, but also a trained actress. Like she's been in theater, she's been in commercials, she's been doing this for a long time. Her whole family is, and so the teacher goes out. Someone sets a nightstand for the bedroom, and I almost said the teacher's name. The director and teacher comes out and moves it again downstage, right? But the girl who plays Kimmy, so they're crossing by each other. Right before the scene opens, and the actress puts it all the way back where it was before. And I was like, I was so expecting the teacher to come back out and reset it.
Could you see spikes? Were there spikes that she was?
No, I didn't see
follow?
Any tape on the stage. Huh. I did not see it. That's a good question. No, I didn't. You know what?
Just a control issue from the wings. Mm-hmm. Huh? So now I think, okay, if his budget's not concerned, then we've put ourselves in the stagehand position as well as the more hands-on in positions a director can fill, the better any show will go. If they can write and star in it too, that's always going to be best.
You're talking about control issues. Well, because I talked to another mom and her daughter didn't make it into the play. And then volunteered to be on crew. But the teacher said, no, if you wanted to audition, you chose what part of the cast you wanted to be. You didn't want to be crew. So you are now ineligible. If you auditioned, you were no longer eligible to be crew.
I don't even mind that specifically, because that's real life. You know, like, hey, sorry. And so everyone doesn't get a trophy. You tried for what you wanted. You didn't get it. Go home, try, practice, be better.
All right.
Talk to you later.
All right.
Lifesrealhard.com.
Then I'm really glad. Everyone was kind of jealous that Griffin was in the play. Now I guess they're right.
Right. He earned it.
He earned it.
So I'm talking about Griff.
Yeah.
Did I hear you saying, am I ruining a segment in the future? Did I hear you saying that he got a guitar this week?
He got a guitar.
I'm so excited to hear that.
He did. He got a guitar, an electric guitar, no less. And I wish I could tell you exactly what kind of guitar it was. I want to say it was an Epiphone.
That makes sense.
And then it was an orange amp.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, got one of those. And it's in the basement. And I live two floors above that.
Well played.
So
he's got lessons, or you can teach himself?
He both.
Okay.
He is addicted to teaching himself new music. Not awesome. Music that's new to him. And his new fast, he has Simon and Garfunkel.
Very
music
cool.
And also the Beatles, but like not the like stuff
studio.
I've never heard of,
like the studio stuff,
yeah,
or the old stuff,
the studio, like no, the old stuff.
Okay,
there's like
it's
one
a lot
about
easier
the,
to play that stuff on guitar.
The Country Hills, there's like you hear a lot of dialogue and the musicians are talking to each other, and I don't know. I'm like, is that Paul? Is that John?
Well, I don't know.
I don't know.
That's weird.
Yeah, it's before they started sounding like that. They were a little more.
They always sounded like this.
They're a little more eager, I think. Well, I'll figure it out after this. More on 720 WGN.
I'm loving you. I see the tired games we used to play. I'll keep you in my mind just like a photograph. The way we wasted love is such a shame.
It is Music Monday, and that is When I Look Back by Jack Byron, who is in our green room right now. He's patiently waiting. We have an emergency broadcast test coming up, and we have a few more things to say about the case in California. A lot of outrage over the sentencing, the rather lenient sentencing of Brock Turner after he was convicted of three felonies in sexual assault against a young woman. We have in the studio with us Attorney Rich Lenkov from Legal Face Off, and you can catch that on WGN Radio. WGNplus.com. WGNplus.com.
Yes, absolutely.
And the other guy, Jason Whiteside. Is that his name?
Something like something. That. Jason Whiteside is, in fact, my co-host. Not here, though. Not here after
No.
After
so
midnight,
I don't
like
believe
I
he exists.
Right.
I don't think he exists at all. Brandon C. Price, do you have any evidence that
Nope, there is only one, and he is here, and it is good.
There you go. But we were talking a lot about how victims are of sexual assault are often at a disadvantage when it comes to, well, even coming forward. There's a lot of fear. There's shame. There's, just the feeling that I don't want to go through this. This is too painful to go through again. Sean, you wanted to share some thoughts. How are you doing, Sean?
Well, I'm doing okay, but I was doing better until I heard the story, I suppose.
Yeah,
I heard this, and this is absolutely ridiculous. The judicial system has clearly failed this victim.
Yes.
I'm incredibly sad about it. And I look upon the situation as I think rape and murder should generally be almost considered like almost a capital crime. You can ruin somebody's life like this.
Yes.
Child molestation included. I think child molestation and rape have to be premeditated. Whereas murder can be an act of passion, on rare occasion. So I hear this and it just makes me sick. It's 6 months? Seriously?
Isn't that crazy?
It's absolutely crazy.
Rich,
I don't know what else to say about it. This poor woman.
Yeah. No, I agree.
There were witnesses to the situation, and the jury convicted this man.
Yep. And it seems like a miscarriage of justice if in fact, in fact, this jury convicted him on three counts. Rich Lenkov is in the studio. Were there other counts that he was not convicted of included in the charges?
I don't know. I only heard about this charge where he received the 6 months. So I don't know the answer to that.
In your experience with sexual assault cases, how often have you seen judges go so leniently on a convicted felon?
Yeah, pretty rarely. I mean, obviously, these are serious crimes, serious charges. Most judges that I've seen deal with in Illinois, it's called criminal sexual assault cases. They're pretty harsh. They usually throw the book at people convicted of that. I've never seen a sentence as lenient as this one. 6 months, we all agree is ridiculous.
Rich, Sharmili mentioned in the last segment that he's intent on actually challenging this lawsuit and filing an appeal. In any way, could that be a good thing? Could he actually be sentenced to a more, I would personally say fair sentence as opposed to what he got?
It is possible that if he appeals, then the judge could, the appellate court judge could look at that case and give him a harsher sentence. It's possible. Usually that doesn't happen. Usually if you're appealing the sentence, obviously you're asking for leniency. But, the appellate court is able to look at the sentence and decide that it wasn't fair and impose a harsher sentence.
So, I mean, what are the chances the case will be overturned if he had witnesses and he was convicted and they have her testimony?
Yeah, I think the chances are fairly low. Not that it'll be overturned, but the chances of his sentence being reduced are fairly low. The fact is, again, everyone agrees that this sentence is ridiculous. But the fact that the judge does have discretion in weighing the factors, he did explain that there were factors mitigating the sentence in this case. Again, no one agrees with the judge, but the judge does ultimately have that discretion. Now, if he abuses that discretion and there's evidence that there's other factors that played into that decision, then certainly that could impact whether the sentence will be upheld. But that being said, unless you can show that this judge was, biased or had some other motivation, judges do have some leeway in imposing sentences.
Well, so from a layman's perspective, I want to ask a professional, does that raise eyebrows of well, maybe surely somebody has paid this man or something like that case in Texas where the kid got off and then he ran to Mexico with his mom, they still got off and I think a lot of people thought, at least from the layman's perspective, surely somebody wrote a check for that to happen.
Those obviously are significant charges or accusations to make against a sitting judge. So while you might think that there must be other issues at play here, maybe someone paid the judge off, I mean, the fact that that's really hard to prove and that really rarely happens. I mean, the good news is, for the most part, in my experience, having practiced, for 20 years, judges, while I don't you know, I sometimes don't agree with their sentences. The judges I appear in front of, I mean, they're usually making the decision based on the evidence. You know, I haven't seen examples personally of judges being paid off or anything like that. Although we've heard in the, you know, over the last 20 or so years in Illinois, there have been examples of that. But yeah, while it might seem like those are factors that go into it, you have to have pretty significant evidence to successfully prove that a judge is, you know, being paid off or something like that.
Is there any precedence of going back now, like say this particular judge, just for example, and looking at his previous case records and saying, okay, in other previous rape cases or similar cases, he's been so much more harsher. I wonder why this is different. Or does that ever happen in a system like this when a case is so, like, everyone disagrees so much with the verdict and the sentence?
Yeah, I mean, certainly I think there'll be more scrutiny on this judge, and people will look at his prior sentences in similar situations and see, you know, whether he was more lenient or less lenient. That can have an impact on future sentences. But as far as this one is concerned, you know, I don't think there's much room to change it. Again, if he's going to appeal it, there's a chance that it'll be reduced, which is, again, you know, beyond the pale. But yeah, they'll probably look at his history and see what he's done before.
Sean, I wanted to thank you so much for joining the conversation. Was there anything else you wanted to share?
I don't believe so. I just I think that there should be – everything is situational naturally, but I think there should be extensions or longer sentences for people that commit these kind of crimes.
I don't think you're alone. Thank you so much, Sean. I wanted to ask you, Rich, if how hard is it to repeal a judge? How hard is it to take that away from him?
I mean, pretty hard. I mean, you know, you have to, again, have some evidence that this judge is acting in bad faith or has some bias. And even if that's the case, there are remedies short of repealing a judge. I mean, there's censures, there's reprimands. There's different ways that the judiciary system deals with that. It's pretty rare that because people disagree with a sentence, which obviously everyone does in this case, that will result in a judge being repealed.
Well, I think it's also is important for everyone to realize this is why you do research when the elections come along, because he is running unopposed tomorrow, so he's not on the ballot. He could have been voted out if there was someone running against him, if there was any sort of I go by the ABA whenever the recommendations
sure.
are. I try to go through different organizations and see what their recommendations are, you know, whether it's neutral or positive or negative. We go through the list every year because I had a personal experience with a young friend of mine who was killed in a bar fight. And the judge similarly said, well, boys will be boys. When I was young, I was lucky it never went this far and did not. It was basically time served and probation for killing a young man.
Yeah, I mean, do your homework, to your point. You know, I can't imagine, I know for a fact that most people, when they go in their ballot box, don't do the research on those judges that you do. Most people don't even, you know, vote for those judges, let alone research them. But yeah, I mean, these judges, listen, I mean, I have respect for judges. I appear before them every day, but there are some, just like any profession, that are just not doing their job. And they're
right.
are not, and you know, this in California, this seems to be an example of that.
Because I hate for you to get to the point where until it happens to you.
Sure.
Right? It's better to be proactive than reactive.
Right.
That just seems to be the way that I would want people to go. And our listener, Sean, who was saying that there should be harsher sentences, there's also a movement in Illinois. I think Lisa Madigan was saying that she would like to, because of the Hastert case, take away the statute of limitations when it comes to assault. With youth cases, is that across the board, or is there a movement for all rape cases?
Yeah, there's a movement for all victims of sexual assault for, you know, to remove the statute of limitations, like you mentioned. I think it's way overdue. There's still about 35 or 34 states that have statute of limitations for these kind of cases. But, you know, our previous guest, we're having the same guest on tomorrow. You know, her point is that it's very difficult, obviously, for victims of these crimes to come forward and to come forward in a timely manner, and to force them to do that in 3 years. Sometimes it's just impossible. So to remove the ability to prosecute, you know, people who do these crimes simply because someone is not able to come forward in 3 years is tough. So I think there's a lot of support for that movement for sure.
I want to read a real quick text from the 847. Maybe he made a mistake. Maybe he's basically good, but I don't care. He assaulted a woman and changed her life forever.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care what caused him to assault her. He needs to be held fully responsible. I do question his basic goodness, though. He goes from being an angel when he's sober to being a rapist when he's drunk. All the more reason to accept responsibility.
Yeah, and remember, I mean, if you read the father's letter, you know, it's not, it doesn't seem like this is someone who is just doing this in a vacuum. I mean, if you believe the father, when the father's pleading for, you know, his son's, for leniency, and among the reasons he uses are that his son can't eat steaks the way he used to.
Yeah, can't eat his favorite food. Right. We're going to do an emergency broadcast test.
Sure. What?
Hold on one second. We have a test in about 10 seconds. Yeah, his dad said he can't have his favorite food, so... He's
in prison.
And one of his friends said that this is because of political correctness that we're all reacting this way, and that she was attacked. Oh yeah, that's all happening. Here you go.
Like he's got something I don't have, but like just waiting patiently, just hoping that you'd notice me, and I'm jaded. It's killing me slowly.
You're listening pretty late. It is Music Monday in the Allstate Showcase Studio, and Jack Byron's coming up after 12:30, and that's his song, Can't Let Go. We have in studio with us, talking all things legal, Rich Lenkov, attorney Rich Lenkov of Legal Face Off with the other guy. You can go to WGNplus.com. Seriously, I don't know how he does
it. I like that title better.
With the other guy?
Yeah.
And the other guy. And tonight the other guy is Brandon C. Price.
We're just
hanging out talking about all things legal in the news. I don't even know where to begin with Trump and judges. Look, we were talking about this judge in California, and you were saying this would be a better judge for him to go after.
Kill two birds with one stone. Have Trump go after the California judge.
Exactly.
Make everyone happy.
Has the heritage of a judge come into question as far as its impact on a decision in a courtroom?
Never even close. In fact, interestingly, I was with a client today, and I was explaining to them the impact that a judge's perceived sort of predilections might have on a case.
Yeah.
I told them the reality is it means nothing to a case. I mean, even if you had a judge who you thought was liberal or conservative,
right,
they don't allow, to their credit, they don't allow those biases to come into play. So I never tell my client, hey, we're going to, you know, act a certain way because of the judge we have. So it means nothing. That's their sort of, like, you know, feelings on a case. Forget about their nationality, race, gender. I mean, that never comes into play because it's nuts, right? I mean, no one would ever think that a judge would not be able to put aside, you know, and that just assumes, by the way, that they're going to allow the fact that their parents are Mexican to play into the case.
He was born
in
Indiana.
I mean,
the fact
it's ridiculous.
That he's like, because he's Mexican. An attorney would stand in front of a judge and be like, it's because you're a chick. That's why you don't like my case.
Yeah, and, you know, like, just from a pure litigation perspective, I mean, he, you know, Trump is a litigant in this case. Like, you got to be so careful in terms of what you're saying in a case, and especially when you're appearing before a judge. I mean, you know, we're incredibly respectful of the judges we appear beforehand. I mean, they'll throw you in jail. They'll sanction you. They have
Can he sanction Trump?
100%. I can't believe he's not done it.
Yeah,
already.
Why isn't he sanctioning him? Because he doesn't want to be. Because he doesn't want to be accused of being the angry Mexican.
It's really
you
crazy.
You don't want to touch Trump. You get stuck into it. Then the spotlight's on you too. There's nothing.
Well,
it's brilliance.
It already.
But then the second you do that, he wins a little bit more, people are continuing to talk about him. And now you've put another side on the opposition that he introduced to you a minute ago. You can't win. His manipulation is brilliance. It should be written about.
And the ethnic background of the judge in this case is about his university, the marketing for Trump University.
Trump U, yeah.
So I don't even understand.
Where Jason Whiteside got his law degree. Speaking of Jason.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Wait, what are the legal ramifications of libel on this show? Just out of curiosity.
We have a full waiver of liability for all of that.
And then people were apoplectic last week when it came to this case of the little boy that got into the gorilla's pen, and sadly the gorilla was shot, and people were saying that the parents were negligent, and, you know, and because apparently everybody who is passing judgment is one in a position to do so and knows exactly how every 4-year-old
as if you've never lost your kid in a gorilla pit. I mean, come on. Right. I mean,
if I had a nickel.
I mean, just
The fact that it happened, and it's happened more than once, by the way, it lets you know that it happens.
Yeah.
That's all there is. That's all you need to know.
Well,
it happened, and then it happened. Guess what? It happens.
Yeah, it does happen. You know, there's a couple of things. I mean, criminally, the state's attorney, the district attorney, has announced today that they're not going to prosecute the parents for negligence, which they could have. From a civil perspective, the zoo has some exposure here. I mean, the parents have come out and said that they're not going to sue the zoo for negligence, for allowing their kid to fall into this pit. But that's now. I mean, believe me, I see these cases every single day, and they've got 2 years to file suit. So I wouldn't be surprised if some plaintiff's lawyers like Jason Whiteside get their mitts on this family and say, hey, listen, the enclosure wasn't high enough, and the zoo was responsible for your kid's damages, even though there was really no damages. But I wouldn't be surprised if there's a lawsuit at some point down the road.
Well, there's so many.
I mean, there's
crazy
mental
things.
Trauma,
exactly.
That they're going to allege and all this stuff. But
now
I defend those
the
cases
for the rest of his life.
Right?
Video, I mean, and that would ruin my life. I would need several million zoo dollars.
Right?
All the dollars.
Lots of zoo visits.
More after this on 720.
<Free zoo visits. laughs>